May it please the Court, my name is Will Pletcher, and I represent appellant, ASARCO LLC. I wanted to focus this argument on two issues that have emerged through the briefing. First, ASARCO only seeks termination of what is known as the East Helena CAMU Trust by operation of law. ASARCO is not seeking to terminate the trust through any express provision in the trust or through any provision in the Montana Settlement Agreement, which ASARCO asserts makes the trust impossible to fulfill. ASARCO is only seeking to terminate the trust through operation of law. The second point I wanted to address is we believe the district's court, its opinion, was mistaken as it tried to determine the scope of the East Helena CAMU Trust and the Montana Settlement Agreement. You can see that the district court was animated to some extent by its analysis that the East CAMU Trust went only to ASARCO's RCRA liabilities.
And let's assume he was wrong about that. So let's go on from that premise. That seems to be the premise of the opposing briefing. He was mistaken. Why does that matter?
That matters, Your Honor, because it relates back then to the first point about whether the trust is impossible to fulfill or has been fulfilled and then thus should be terminated.
Well, has it been fulfilled? I mean, it was for the purpose of doing a certain task. The task wasn't done, so how was it fulfilled?
When you look at the purpose of the trust, Your Honor, the purpose is financial assurance. The purpose is not any particular task.
Well, it was. I thought it was the second ammo, whatever. I mean, a particular part of the cleanup, just a very small, as I understand it, part of it.
It's a small part of the overall East Helena cleanup, this particular cap and what the CAMU Trust is addressing. But the Montana Settlement Agreement, which encompasses the entire East Helena Agreement, also covers this exact same liability. Now, if we go to the...
But here, I've got a really basic question. You make all these arguments that the Montana Settlement Agreement supplants, takes the place of the prior financial assurance in the CAMU Trust, I'll call it. But if that was the intent of the parties, why couldn't they just have said that? I mean, it's not there. And isn't that what the district court basically said? I'm sympathetic to some of the things you say. They make some logical sense to me. But I don't understand in negotiating all of this why you couldn't have just said it.
It absolutely could have just been plainly said in that way in the Montana Settlement Agreement. It wasn't.
Isn't that very important?
There's sort of, in the context of the overall Montana Settlement Agreement, this is something that could have been addressed directly and expressly, and it wasn't. Nevertheless, our position...
Rewrite it and put it there, basically.
Well, our position is, nevertheless, by operational Montana law, that because this trust purpose is now fulfilled, that the trust terminates.
So you didn't need to negotiate that? Is that what you're saying?
We did not need to. It would have been clearer and better, and we probably wouldn't be here today if we had, but we did not need to.
Let me then ask you another question, which goes right along there. If that be your argument, why aren't you arguing that you ought to get back the total amount you contributed rather than just a little amount?
We're only seeking what remains in the trust.
It seems to me that if we take your argument to the fullest extent, you ought to be arguing you ought to get all your money back, not just the stuff you want now. That's why I have a tough time with your argument, and my colleague has suggested exactly where I am. Seems to me the logical extent of your argument is, if we're to win, I get it back, the whole thing.
I see Your Honor's point. In the context of the bankruptcy in which the Montana settlement agreement was developed, what was being spent on an ongoing basis for the cleanup during the bankruptcy, which would be the funds that would have come out of the East Helena Cayman Trust during that time, those would have been, in the context of the bankruptcy, would have been seen, I believe, as past costs. And because those have been spent and that restoration has been done, ASARCO is not seeking those. ASARCO is only seeking the return of what's
well,
the balance of the trust.
And that goes to the ultimate trust agreement, because it seems to me that the trust is the satisfaction of past environmental problems encountered, not future environmental actions. The only language is about past costs. Was what the government's past costs, not ASARCO's past costs. So again, it seems to me if that's really your argument, you're destroying what you really want to get here. Because if you're saying, well, that was past costs, so we didn't go after it, it seems to me the trust was past costs for ASARCO, and therefore done, over, unless you want to put some language in there to help you out.
What has been expended out of the trust, ASARCO would view as a past cost.
Okay,
what is left?
In the trust. In other words, the decision to put it in the trust for a certain purpose is an expenditure, no?
I'm sorry, we have multiple trusts here. You mean the East Helena
Camu Trust? The Camu Trust.
The decision to put it in the trust is an expenditure.
Right. It's gone. It's not yours anymore.
It's also an expenditure that ASARCO has a property right to the balance of if the trust is fulfilled, which it has been.
Would you, to back up for a minute, you say you're only arguing by operation of law, and you're saying, and you understand that the standard of operation of law is that the purpose of the trust is fulfilled or impossible. Why is it fulfilled or impossible? It's quite aside from these questions about not having negotiated anything specific in the second trust agreement, even just looking at it purely as a question of which it is of the trust law. Why Montana trust law? Why is this impossible or fulfilled? The work isn't done. It could be done. It is being done. So what's impossible about it or fulfilled?
And this, Your Honor, goes to my first point, which was the purpose of the trust, which was financial assurance related to certain tasks, not the performance of the tasks themselves. If we go to the trust in the preamble, twice
we... That isn't true, because, at least it's not exactly true, because it wasn't sitting there waiting for ASARCO to do the work. The money was going to come out of the trust to do the work. Whoever did it, even if ASARCO didn't exist.
That's correct, but it's not related to the task. It's related to assurance that the task be performed. Even
I'm sorry, I don't understand what you just said. Given the fact that the fund is there to pay for the task, not to back up the payment of the task, but to pay for it.
It's there for the assurance, the guarantee.
It's not a guarantee. That's what I'm trying to say. The money is going to be used to pay the people who are doing the work. Nobody else is paying them. Is that correct?
Up until the point the Montana settlement agreement was entered, that would be correct.
Well, that's the way the trust was written. It was not written as a backup or a guarantee. It was written to pay the cost.
Your Honor, respectfully, it's a RCRA Financial Assurance Trust.
What it says, not what you think it's about.
If I could go to Schedule A, where the district court identified the tasks, even there, these are cost estimates related to the financial trust. The assurance.
The consent decree in 1998 required some form of financial assurance, right?
Correct, John.
The creation of the trust in 2007, 9 years later, was the provision of that financial assurance.
That's correct. No financial assurance was required until several years after ASARCO had entered the bankruptcy.
Right. So, again, you come up with this trust to provide the financial assurance. ASARCO is already in bankruptcy in 2005. It makes this financial assurance, this Camu Trust, in 2007, and then proceeds along, renegotiates a full settlement in What year was it? 2009, I think?
2009, yes, Your Honor.
Right. Now, already in bankruptcy, if there was any notion that this was to supplant or take the place of this CAMU trust, I can't fathom how that wouldn't have been put into the agreement.
It was not, Your Honor. And nevertheless, the SARCO's position is that the CAMU trust must terminate by operation of law because of Montana sovereignty.
You know what that seems like to me? It seems like either you couldn't get it in the negotiation, so you left it alone and decided to come after it later and try to get the court to do it for you, or you just didn't think about it until after the settlement agreement was breached.
I could also think of other reasons it would not be included, including just in the overall context of the bankruptcy and the multiple settlement agreements that were being entered into with the government at the time. It just wasn't included. But we're still left with the position that it would terminate by operation of law here today.
So to go back to that, tell me again why this is – you're not saying it's impossible, right?
The purpose has been fulfilled.
All right. Now, but tell me how – there's a attached list of projects to be done, a cost of each of them. They're not all done, so why can't the purpose be fulfilled?
Even on this schedule, which is ER 54, at the top it states that this is the financial reserve. On the total financial assurance came a cost line in the middle, you come up with the $4 million figure. This is a cost estimate based on experts' analysis as to what needed to be done with the East Helena CAMU as of the time that the trust was entered into. This was just to come up with an amount of the CAMU trust. What amount would EPA want for assurance that these tasks could be fulfilled? Not that these and that's the difference. Not that these tasks would be fulfilled themselves. Now, today, with the Montana Settlement Agreement, all of ASARCO's liabilities are discharged and liquidated. This amount here has been liquidated and is now included in the Montana Settlement Agreement.
But just a minute. The thing that worries me about that, I understood from your briefs, and I'm hoping you're not going to correct this now, that you agree that Cell 2 has not been completed.
As of – I don't know the exact state of what's going on right now, but, yes, as of the time of the briefing, I understand that that still needs to be completed.
Cell 2 hasn't been completed. The trust doesn't speak to what ASARCO needs to do. It speaks to whatever work needs to be done, correct?
Correct. It's financial assurance for certain
whatever tasks. Whatever work needs to be done as per the consent decree.
That's correct.
So if we've still got more work to do and the trust doesn't talk about only what ASARCO has to do, but whatever work needs to be done, then how is its purpose been fulfilled?
Because the trust is for the financial assurance that those costs will be taken care of.
Well, I understand, and there's work left to be done, and it's not just ASARCO who's got to do it. Anybody can do it.
But ASARCO has now funded over $100 million allocated out of a $1.8 billion environmental settlement allocated directly at this problem at East Helena.
Well, what language in the trust, the second trust, are you relying on? There's language that says the settlement agreement is intended to serve as a comprehensive settlement of the claims and causes of action of the governments against debtors with respect to all work and past costs and any potential future costs incurred by the government and all natural resources damages. Is that the language you're talking about?
That's precisely the language that this would include, both CERCLA and RCRA claims at East
Helena. Okay, but
what
was said earlier by one of my colleagues, it's talking about the work and past costs and future costs incurred by the governments. But this isn't incurred by the governments because it's already been taken care of and is in a trust, and the governments aren't going to have to pay for it. So it's not part of the settlement. It's already taken care of.
It was a financial assurance entered into during the bankruptcy.
It was a financial assurance, and it may say that, but it's not an assurance in the sense of a guarantee. It's a set aside of money from which the costs are going to be paid, so nobody else is going to have to pay for it. The government doesn't – this is not a problem for the government anymore because the money is already there and it is paying for it.
Isn't the point that you keep saying financial assurance, but the trust is created by – a SARCO creates the trust, but then – but then it, and this is what the district court emphasized, it exists, it's a trust. It's not a SARCO's money anymore, it's a trust, right?
It's,
and it's a trust that is directed at the work. It's not directed at back at a SARCO. It may go back to a SARCO if they do the work, but it's directed at the work. So it's independent of a SARCO, and it's there to take care of the work.
It's financial assurance for work.
Yeah.
It is, but it is also the corpus of the trust. A SARCO does have a property right in because it can go back to a SARCO once the trust purpose has been fulfilled.
No, once the work is done, this particular work.
And that's the purpose. The purpose is the work.
I respectfully disagree that the task list is a cost estimate for the assurance itself, but the work could be accomplished in many different ways. And now the government has $100 million to accomplish this task.
Okay. Thank you very much. Now, I want to explain that there was a screw-up on the time measurement because – so you probably got a fair amount of extra time because it wasn't running down for a while. And at some point, we just took 5 minutes away well after you've done more than 5 minutes. So I'm going to be a little loose on the other side, although I don't think there's really that much to say.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
May it please the Court, I'm Lisa Jones from the Department of Justice for the United States of America, and with me at counsel table is our trial counsel, David Dane, and EPA counsel, Chuck Figure. This morning, we've already covered a lot of ground about the CAMU Trust, and I just have a couple of points to make. First of all, the trust purpose is not fulfilled, and although ASARCO pays a lot of lip service to saying we're only looking at operation of law, you really need to look at the trust document itself, and the whereas clauses, the first page of the trust agreement, make very clear this is not just about financial assurances. It's about work required to be conducted under that order. It's also important to take a couple of steps back in what's happened here in this case to understand that ASARCO didn't have to set up an irrevocable trust to put the money in to pay for the work that's on Schedule A in the trust agreement. They chose to do that. And they chose to do that only after having done the first CAMU trust in 2001, and then, as noted, they went into bankruptcy in 2005. What ASARCO did is specifically ask the bankruptcy court to take assets out of the bankruptcy estate to put them into a trust in order to fund this work to do the second sell of the CAMU. That's what this trust is about. They took assets out, they got permission from the bankruptcy court, they asked EPA, got permission from EPA, and created this agreement. And this agreement has a very specific trust purpose, which is for the work required to be conducted, whether it's conducted by ASARCO or by a third party. And I think that everyone must concede that the work has not been completed. There is no permanent cap on the second CAMU. It has been built. There are some wastes that have been put in it. There is a temporary cap, as I understand it now, that's lifted when more waste is to be put in. But there is no permanent cap. It is hard to understand how the trust purpose could be fulfilled. Additionally, the trust itself provides very specific steps that need to be taken to amend or terminate this trust. And it's also conceded that those steps haven't been taken. The only argument is that it was somehow done by operation of law, and that simply has not happened here.
Isn't the real question whether how you read this provision in the second larger trust agreement, the consent decree and settlement, the whereas about this is intended to serve as a comprehensive settlement of the claims and causes of action, couldn't you read that as saying this is superseding anything else, including any obligation by this trust to pay any more money?
Well, first of all, as these assets were taken out of the bankruptcy estate, no longer part of the bankruptcy estate, put into this trust, which is a living, breathing document within its own four corners, it's hard to understand how this larger settlement 17 months later that mentions nowhere the CAMU Trust somehow is intended, that is also, and which is intended to settle the bankruptcy, right? This is done in the context of the bankruptcy estate and all the assets that remain. It's hard to understand how it could address assets that were specifically taken out of the bankruptcy estate and instead put into this trust for a very specific purpose, which is to cap this second CAMU. Particularly sub silencio, I mean, this is an irrevocable trust.
It may have been entered into as part of the bankruptcy, but this is particular. The consent decree and settlement I'm reading from is about the Montana sites and has to do with those claims. So it's not a settlement of the bankruptcy on whole. It's a settlement of the particular claims relating to the Montana environmental sites.
It is providing money to clean up future investigations and future needs at the foreign Montana sites.
Well, it doesn't say future. It says all work and past costs and any potential future costs.
Well, it's hard to understand how these could be past costs in the bankruptcy any longer where the assets were, in fact, taken out of the bankruptcy.
But I think there are other answers, perhaps, to what you're saying, but this particular provision is not talking about the bankruptcy estate. It's a comprehensive settlement of the claims and causes of action of the governments against debtors with respect to all work and past costs and any potential future costs incurred by the governments and all natural resources damages. It's not talking about limited to what's in the bankruptcy estate at that time.
Well, regardless of whether it's limited to what was in the bankruptcy at that time or not, the CAMU Trust was excised. It became its own particular document. It is very difficult for me to understand how, in the context of this extremely sophisticated bankruptcy, that at best amorphous statement about a comprehensive settlement could in fact revoke or impact at all a trust agreement that was entered into, particularly where, if you go to the signatory page, the trustee for the CAMU Trust is not even included as a signatory of that agreement.
Why couldn't you simply read this as saying anything else that's going to be paid for with regard to all work and past costs and any future potential costs is going to come out of this $99 million, and therefore it's not that the trust is going away, but that there's nothing more for the trust to pay for because everything from now on is going to be paid out of here.
Well, respectfully, I'd first say really we should only be looking at the CAMU Trust itself to answer this question.
Why?
But if you're looking at the Montana agreement.
I don't understand that. I mean, this agreement could be saying from this $99 million, any more costs having anything to do with rectifying environmental problems on the Montana sites is going to come out of this $99 million. It could say that.
I think it would have to say more than that to get at the CAMU Trust.
Wouldn't it have to bring the trustee into the negotiation, and wouldn't it have to contemplate going back to the district court that still had jurisdiction?
I think so, because
to get an order terminating the trust. I mean, if the parties had wanted to do it, they could have found a way.
That's right, exactly. But I mean, the trustee here, who is not a signatory to the 2009 agreement, has fiduciary obligations with respect to the trust. So it would be very strange to have tried to impact that trust and that trustee and his fiduciary obligations through this other instrument.
As I understand the way the CAMU Trust was operating, it's that the government, the regional director of whatever agency this was directing the work.
That's right, the regional administrator, EPA.
The trustee only pays out what the regional director tells him to pay out.
That's right.
So this could be saying the government's not going to do that anymore. It's not going to be – it's not really directed at the trustee. It's directed at whether the regional director is going to be directing money out of the trust, out of the CAMU Trust, as opposed to out of this trust.
Well, she asks the trustee. I mean, the trustee does have fiduciary obligations, and you could imagine where the trustee may say no to something if there was some other problem. But anyway, let me get back to your other question.
Just a minute, please. My point is that could one read this comprehensive settlement language as, or put another way, suppose the language had been clearer and had said from now on, any government agency that wants any money to pay for anything that any cleanup at the Montana sites gets the money out of this trust.
Even if that were the case, if it did not mention the CAMU trust specifically and did not include the trustee as a signatory and follow at least the steps.
That because then if all the money came out of, well, let me amend that. If it turned out that the $99 million wasn't enough, then maybe it could go back to the CAMU trust. But in the meanwhile, the CAMU trust isn't paying out anything because nobody is allowed to go to it. And if the money is then left over, eventually it goes back to Osarco, no?
I'm confused. Are you saying that you
I'm saying if you read this
okay.
comprehensive language the way I was suggesting.
Well, you're reading the one statement out of the Montana Settlement Agreement. But if you continue and look at the agreement itself, it has lots of very forward-looking. It's talking about future investigations, future costs. And there is a lot of work left to be done at the East Helena site and other sites. There's groundwater contamination. There's investigations that need to occur. And the $99 million for that particular site as part of the larger amount was made in the nature of a compromise. And that's right in the 2009 agreement.
But Judge Berzon, I'm sorry. Defer to Judge Smith.
Well, all I was going to say, I'm a little bit surprised because as I understand the Montana Settlement Agreement, ASARCO will never have to pay another dime for this particular project. And, in fact, the government will not have to pay any more dimes for this particular project unless the CAMU Trust has spent out all the money. Isn't that correct?
With respect to the CAMU.
Right.
That's right. And if there's money left over, then that money from the CAMU Trust will go back to ASARCO, quite unlike the 2009 settlement. Even if there's money left over when East Helena has been cleaned up, for example, that money goes through a progression and never goes back to ASARCO.
Well, as I understand the Montana Settlement Agreement, it suggests that what money ASARCO has put in exterminates all of its obligations as to any project, and the CAMU Trust is set up already by ASARCO, not its money anymore, already spent, and it's out there to take care of the work to be completed on the consent decree for which it was set up. And it will pay the money until it's done. If the project isn't done, when the CAMU Trust is done, ASARCO has no more responsibility.
That's right. And, I mean, I think if you look at the trust agreement itself, it lays out a trust purpose, which is to perform the work, and it lays out very specifically in the schedule
and it says what needs CAMU to be done. CAMU Trust, the work need not be performed by ASARCO. It can be performed by anyone, and yet the trust will pay.
That's right.
And therefore, the government will not have any cost up to the point where the CAMU Trust expires.
That's right.
And therefore, the Montana Settlement Agreement, which talks about all work and past costs and any potential costs incurred by the government, is not affected because the government won't have any cost until the CAMU Trust is over.
That's right. Exactly. And it's also, in addition to the Montana Settlement Agreement, you know, being made perfectly clear, and this is an excerpt of Record 30, that all the funds are in the nature of compromises. The Montana Settlement does not provide for an offset of payments
Montana
for the
settlement
CAMU.
Also says the purpose of the custodial trust shall be to own the Montana designated properties. Does that include the property on which these CAMU things are?
The East Helena properties.
Right. Okay. Yes, right?
Yes.
So they're going to own that property. Carry out administrative and property management functions related to the Montana designated properties as set forth herein. Manage and or fund implementation of future environmental actions approved by the lead agency with respect to the Montana designated properties. Now, the finishing of the CAMU Trust, is that not a future environmental action approval?
No, it's not, actually. It is because that trust was, it really should have been done if you look at the schedule. It is, they're still filling it,
it's set up in such a way, as I understand it, that each action, like today we're going to put the final plug in, is going to be approved by the lead agency with respect to the Montana designated property, right?
Respectfully.
Is that not a future environmental action approved by the lead agency with respect to the Montana designated property?
No, it's not, because as of the time of the 1998 consent decree, RCRA imposed the requirements to have financial assurances. These were past obligations that ASARCO chose to address.
I'm talking about the action, the putting on of the final plug.
It is not on. That's right.
I understand that. Who's going to decide whether to put it on? That's an environmental action. It's going to be approved by the lead agency, right? It's with respect to the Montana designated property, right?
Well, it's with respect to the CAMU. It's not discussing the property as a whole. The trust itself is specific to this particular cell of the CAMU. And it's not at all discussed in this Montana settlement agreement. In the same agreement, ASARCO agreed not to seek any direct or indirect reimbursement.
I'm asking you whether the aside from what's not in there, I'm trying to figure out what is in there in the custodial trust designation. And it appears that, let's put it another way. Would you agree that the custodial trust could be used to pay for the CAMU construction and or plug?
If there are cost overruns, it could be used.
Why cost overruns? Because the way it's written, it doesn't seem to have. If somebody decided to pay it out of this trust
because
instead of the other one,
the
why
trust,
not?
The way the trust agreement, the CAMU trust agreement is written, is that it's fulfilled either when the purpose is fulfilled, which means the permanent cap has been placed on, or when all funds have been depleted.
I think what we're trying to get to is, could this work on the CAMU trust is funding that isn't done yet, right? Could that be paid for by either the CAMU trust or funds set aside by the Montana settlement agreement? Is it possible that funds from either of those pots could pay for that work?
It is our position that the funds that were placed into the CAMU trust to fulfill the trust purpose, that until those funds are depleted, other funds can't be used for the CAMU. That was the purpose.
Judge Berzon's earlier point, which was, and I'm not sure you ever answered her question, which was, couldn't the parties in the negotiation of the Montana settlement agreement prohibited drawing funds out of the CAMU trust and directed that the Montana settlement agreement set aside funds pay for that final work, and eventually the work would be completed, and the trust the purpose would be fulfilled, and the money would go back to ASARCO. Couldn't they have done it that way?
They could have done it that way. They did not do it that way.
So then the question is, given the two phrases from the Montana settlement that I've read to you, why one read it the way in that manner? It seems to be saying that this is for to fund the implementation of future environmental actions approved by the lead agency with respect to the Montana designated properties. Now, the work that's being still to be done in the CAMU Trust are future environmental actions approved by the lead agency with respect to the Montana designated properties, unless you read something into this language, i.e. accept the work to be done under the CAMU Trust.
Respectfully, we don't agree that this is a future obligation. It's a past obligation that was settled by the establishment of the CAMU Trust itself.
This isn't talking about obligations. It's talking about environmental actions. Okay.
Respectfully, this is an irrevocable trust that has very specific steps to alter it or amend it. If the 2009 settlement was going to do that, it would have said so expressly. It can't be that where nothing is said, the CAMU trust is not even mentioned. And instead, it is moving along and doing just what it has been doing since it was set up in 2007. It cannot be that sub silencio, this 2009 agreement, can revoke an irrevocable trust. And these were very sophisticated lawyers. These were very sophisticated parties that were negotiating. And if they had intended to eradicate or terminate or impact in any way the CAMU trust, they would have done so, but did not do so. And under those circumstances, it's our position that the trust remains intact until it has been completed or until the funds are depleted.
Okay. We understand your position and found the arguments very helpful. Thank you very
much. Thank you. We respectfully request that you affirm the district court.
Thank you. We'll give you a minute in rebuttal. Really a minute because you were over your time, even if it didn't appear that way.
Respectfully, Your Honors, we don't submit that the Montana settlement agreement revokes the East Helena Cameo Trust. Our position is that that trust terminates by operation of law, that there's...
Well, why should that be? I mean, isn't the more sensible position that it sits there, it just sits there, while this is being implemented? And if the $99 million is sufficient to finish the camel work, then you get the money back, but otherwise you don't. It doesn't terminate the trust. It just leaves it there for purposes of seeing if that money is needed.
Our position is that the $99 million covers...
I understand that's your position. I think it's probably your weaker position.
I don't think they've ever had another position. I think their position is what he stated, and I guess that's where we have to go. Not suggest.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Use your time. It's an interesting case. Thank you very much. The case is United States versus Asarco is submitted. The next case, NLRB versus Legacy Health System, is submitted on the briefs, and therefore we are going to Reynolds Properties and Applied Technology, which are going to be argued in tandem, as I understand it.